moment, but you pick up the archives and so forth, and repeats of the program. We thank you very much for being with us, and hope your lives are tolerable. Things are getting to be very bad here. And I must say one thing, but first let me bring on my partner and colleague, Erica Kahn. Are you there, young lady?
Yeah, I'm here, Jeff. Good evening.
Okay. Good evening. And I had to, last hour, dear Madeline got launched into her med bed thing again, and I had to put out a disclaimer, because as far as I'm concerned, and as far as you're concerned, and I'm not speaking for you, I just know how you feel, this is all, it's science fiction, until proven otherwise, and we don't have any proof. So it's just another really nifty operation, and you know, I'm not in favor of anything that isn't certified with some solid science, and I have yet to see it on these distance healing med beds, which have been yammered about for some time. I'm not saying anything bad about anybody who's marketing them, and I don't know. It sounded to me like a sales pitch, so I had to step in there. But what are your thoughts on med beds?
I think there's a bit of hopium being pushed around right now.
Yeah. Well, it's that time. I mean, we're under siege. We're under globalist mass genocidal siege. So people are going to grasp at almost anything that promises a new way to heal.
Right.
Heal. And I don't think med beds are going to heal the vax injured, because med beds don't work on the principle as spike proteins and the mRNA and the adenovirus shots do. I don't know how they're supposed to work. I've read about them, but I still don't understand it. So I just don't want to give false hope to anybody out there. You've been injured by these shots. You got a problem. And we hope to God something comes along that can help you, at least symptomatically, if nothing else. We're not seeing it. Things are only getting worse for those people. And I mean, there are a lot of listeners right now who are in that camp. So bless all of you, and I hope something comes along. And you know, if you want to try a med bed, you go right ahead. But it doesn't come endorsed by this program. I just want you to know that. Fair?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff being pushed around that in, you know, in some cases is actually harming people.
And that is not a joke. Now, that is documented, and that is true. So there you go. All right, a couple quickie headlines here. Mercola's been putting out information we put out a year and a half ago here. But fine, good, just so it gets out there. COVID kill shot boosters ignite deadly mass cancers. Overnight, they're saying. They're just popping up overnight, and often restart latent or dormant cancers or cancers in remission. Now, we've been on that theme for a long time. We don't claim ownership. We were pushing it long ago. Russell Blaylock was ahead of us, and we had Russell's video on the program here where he said, you're going to see cancers we don't even have names for, and he was so right. So Russell deserves, I think, being first in this. But, you know, a year and a half late, whatever. It's good to see. I don't know how much mileage they're going to get out of it, but it's being talked about. So let's help spread it around. Cancer is a killer. Virtually everyone who's been injected develops AIDS. AIDS, not the HIV AIDS, but AIDS nonetheless. And cancers are also being welcomed aboard by the dissolution of P53. What are the other things that these injections of hell are repressing?
T cell, killer T cell function. And killer T cells are responsible for surveilling the body for virally infected cells or cancerous cells, and they'll destroy them. But with these shots, the T cells themselves get destroyed, and they stay destroyed for a while. At some point, you get this T cell exhaustion because the T cells can't keep up with what's being demanded of them, and they themselves may be corrupted transfected and unable to operate as they should. What else?
What about this blastoma thing? We got P53.
Oh, the
and
RB.
We had a RB.
Yeah, the RB, yeah. RB binding. I don't know if that's as much of a one, but the BRCA one, the breast cancer, ovarian, pancreatic cancer, prostate cancer gene is also affected. Now, that's a DNA repair pathway that is impaired by the spike protein and likely accounts for this just explosion of breast cancers that we're seeing now and
endometrial
pancreatic
also?
Cancers. What's that?
Endometrial as well?
I think that's a different mechanism. I mean, there are a lot of cases of endometrial cancer being diagnosed now.
And these are young girls, 18, 20, 22, 24. They're breeders
20s, 30s,
is what they are.
But
that's how a genocidist would look at them as breeding stock. That's how he would look at them. And they're being just taken out of the game, destroyed.
Right.
Horrible.
I mean, you never used to see women that age getting cancer in these kinds of numbers.
No.
Not that
never.
Type of cancer. Maybe cervical cancer, maybe. But endometrial cancer, is that generally was an older woman's disease, 65 plus. So what's driving that? I don't know. There's something obviously to do with the hormones. We had that study or paper that was published a couple weeks ago, into November maybe, or December, showing that the spike protein binds to and modulates the estrogen receptor. Well, that's a big deal. And then there's plenty of evidence to show that this spike protein is interfering with the progesterone, either the progesterone hormone itself or the receptor for it.
Very good. Yeah. Okay, we have more from the FLCCC and Dr. Pierre Corey as we continue to do investigative journalism into this so-called terahertz wand that comes right out of China, right out of the CCP-run China, and the CCP doesn't like us. So you got to remember that. I don't know what. You can connect the dots here. CCP, Communist Chinese Party, and go to the FLCCC. That's got three C's in it, so it's a little confusing. But anyway, this is Dr. Pierre Corey, and he has an update on the so-called terahertz wand. Now, do remember that there have been efforts made for quite some time now to create machines that were able to actually generate terahertz on a basic person-to-person human level, and they haven't been able to do it. It's too expensive. It's crazy expensive.
Yeah, it's very sophisticated technology.
Yeah.
Very sophisticated. And they haven't managed to do it to bring it down to an affordable level that would be accessible to the consumer. Not that I don't even know what a consumer would be doing with terahertz devices, really.
It's a tough call.
Just to give a little prelude, this was an FLCCC webinar that took place on Wednesday, and it happened to be the 2-year anniversary of two healthcare workers who were coerced into taking the injections to keep their jobs back in January of 2021, and they were both severely injured by these shots. One got Moderna, one got Pfizer, and they came down with these shaking syndrome, the out of control convulsions and movement disorders. And so they chronicled their saga from the day they were injured and how they were treated by their employer, how they were treated by doctors, hospitals. And it is just utterly appalling. And by trial and error, they eventually made their way to Pierre Corey, probably within the last year, because he's just devoted his full-time practice to treating victims of the vaccine, along with long COVID sufferers.
Victims of the bioweapon.
But it's interesting.
Yes.
If you have the time, it's about an hour-long interview with these two women that describe what they went through. And they really are champions for the vaccine injured, because they were two of the first to come out on social media to describe what happened to them. And they were accused right from the beginning of making it up, that they were faking it.
Right. Well, we continue to look at this and report to you on a journalistic basis. There's not much of that going on anymore either. They're all just reading. But we look into things and compare and contrast. Now, here's Dr. Corey. He's going to tell us his latest feelings on these so-called terahertz wands. So let's see. Now, I haven't heard this, so I'm going to be listening to it for the first time with all of you as well. Here's Dr. Pierre Corey.
Better than others, and you know, always with a mind for safety, and now I have to ask you guys, sorry, but did you guys hear of a therapy recently that was told to you that might be helpful? And you want to tell us about that experience?
You wouldn't be talking about the magical wand, would you?
Let me just start off by saying, we had a fellow injured, okay, that was given this magic wand and had miraculous results. And he wanted us a wand in the hands of every injured. And I was grateful. I thought, oh my gosh, absolutely. You know, I wanted to try this. I wanted the results that, you know, he miraculously had. And needless to say, when I first started it, I felt good. I mean, I had some energy. I felt good. And within probably a week, week and a half, it went south. And it took me a month to recover. I think it took Angelia over a month to recover. I don't know what we would have done without you for that. But the iTeraCare wand, I would definitely say it is not for all the vaccine injured. And if you decide to try it, you better beware.
And so that's important. So as a physician, so that's as a patient, it's not for all, but as a physician, I'm going to go even stronger because remember, we really do try to follow the do no harm point. So any therapy, whether it's a wand or a rock or anything, if it helps three people, yet it really makes four people sick or even two people sick, you have a therapy here that you have a high chance of hurting someone with. That's not a therapy I can use or integrate in my practice. There's nothing I use where I have a very high risk of making someone worse. It's just off the table. As soon as I hear of three people injured from a therapy, that's it. It's done. But that's the problem, right, is that you might have some positive experiences. I'm actually going to talk about a little something here that I don't know a lot about, but it's from the mouth of someone who I highly respect, and many of you may read him, but a phenomenal physician on Substack named a Midwestern doctor who's a friend of mine, knows a lot about the history of medicine, different approaches to healing therapy. And one of his statements on energy therapy, right, energy healing, which is what this wand is supposed to be, is that it's highly variable. You have to actually, it has to be with the direction of energy in which it's applied and what the abnormality is. And so like, you might have felt good that first time because you administered the energy in the right way. But so it's not meant for a patient to wave the wand over their bodies. And so and anyway, I just think it's just too high risk. It's hurt too many people. There's way too many people sick. Rhea of longhaulers.world in the UK, you know, also inundated with many patients who were told that it would help them and it didn't. And so, you know, I talked about this before Christmas. I think it really is important because the suffering is immense already. We don't need to add to it. And so I'm sorry you guys went through what you went through, but I'm glad that you brought it up and maybe we can help, you know, prevent that in someone else. So.
And we thank you for coming, Pierre. We are so we're so glad that a lot of progress has been made. We have some good questions. A couple of them are for our patients here.
Great.
One of them for Angelia and Sean. How challenging was it for you or your caregivers to enter your data into VAERS? Did you check later to see if your entry remained as entered?
I can answer for both of us. We, in fact, entered our own information. No one entered any of that information for us. And yes, mine has always stayed the same. I'm not sure. Was yours changed?
It did not. At the time when I did mine, I did not even know.
Okay.
What my...
Very good. So both of their entries into VAERS apparently were allowed to stay, and they weren't messed with. So that's good news. But there you go. That's the latest of our investigation into the ongoing story about these magic wands from communist China, which apparently are purporting to do something that science has not been able to make available on a consumer level before. And we don't still have any data from any serious lab demonstrating exactly what these wands are emitting. We don't know. Infrared? Probably. Microwaves? Apparently for sure. Terahertz range? Very difficult. It's a very wide range.
Unlikely.
300 to 3,000, so you've got a whole huge no man's land of unknown and unexplored energetic frequencies there. And
yeah, 300 to 3,000 gigahertz.
That's
the terahertz range.
Mm. Yeah, it's huge. So there we go. These two ladies are two of the vax injured who have tried them and have had damaging results. Let's leave it at that. That's their story. It remains their story, and we are here to report it to you.
And I'll add that they have been, harassed.
Yes, we have reported
ridiculed.
That, too. They have been essentially attacked online for standing up
ruthlessly
and saying something negative about these wands. And that's
right.
Not a joke.
Right. This type of behavior is just absolutely deplorable. It's unethical. It's deplorable.
So they're continuing, and he mentioned it was interesting to hear Dr. Corey say that his contact or colleague in the UK was reporting the same thing. Lots of people complaining of apparently having been injured by these wands. So again, if you want to try them, it's your choice. We're not telling you not to.
Yeah, well, this is full disclosure, which you're not going to get, apparently, depending on who you're buying it from. Many of these distributors, they are deliberately trying to hide this.
Oh, yeah. Well, it is a multi-level marketing issue. So you have, and we've played a recorded phone call from one of those people to one of the two people on the video that I just played a segment of. And I think many of you may remember that. It's up there on the homepage for you to listen to. And a typical multi-level marketing hustle. And I say that because I used to be in multi-level marketing. I started two multi-level marketing companies 20-some years ago. And I know how it works. And I know the driving force behind many, not most, not all, but many of the people pushing multi-level marketing products and services. It's money. I understand. I get it. It's not a shock because I've been right in it. And I know how it works. And many of you listening have been in MLM, too. So there we go. Have you ever bought any multi-level marketing products?
Sure.
Most everyone
yeah.
has. That's my
yeah.
point. So,
yeah.
And
I mean, there are some good ones out there, and I won't knock it. But, the difference here is that people are getting hurt.
No, it's black and white. There's no... You can buy gold coins. Maybe it's a Ponzi scheme. I don't know. You can buy other services. You're not getting hurt.
Right.
Anyway, so there you go. We'll continue to follow this because it is a news story. It is important to get the truth out, and we hope to have more information on it soon. All right. Now, Dr. Pierre Corey has also spoken out about the injury to the football player that everyone knows, everyone's talking about. We don't know his real status now. There was one story that claimed he woke up and the first thing he said was, "Who won the game?" Well, that's nice, except he's been intubated. It's not easy to talk when you have a tube down your throat.
Yeah, there's something very suspicious about that.
It may be that, and God bless him, hope it's not true, that potentials here range from the possibility that he may be essentially dead. They're claiming that his heart was given CPR quick enough to where there wouldn't be a loss of oxygen to the brain. For the time needed for any kind of brain damage to happen. At least that's the story we're getting. We hope it's true. But if he was intubated and still is, it's unlikely that he'd wake up and say, "Who won the game?" You can't talk. So anyhow, just watch it carefully. Let's hear what Dr. Pierre Corey of FLCCC says about it. I think, and again, I'm hearing this for the first time. So let's find out what he says.
Able to determine.
Yeah, I mean, so obviously there's nothing definitive you can say. I will say this, that when I first saw it, I was like, oh, that was clearly a condition called commotio cordis, right? Which is, you know, there is a trigger for cardiac arrest, which is a sudden blow to the chest. But, you know, and I saw that. However, in the context of everything going on, we have thousands of athletes, well over 1,000 athletes that have rested on the field. The vast majority have died in the past year since the vaccine rollout. So when you see an arrest on a field, I mean, clearly the other thing I jumped to is this, the vaccine. The thing is, it happened right after a hit. And that's why I couldn't be that definitive, because most of the arrests, if anyone's paying attention, you look at things like all of the films and documentaries showing these repeated arrests caught on camera, whether it's on the playing field or on the podium or at press conferences or on television broadcasts. You see people arresting all across the world, right? Generally, there's no insult. They're just in the middle of a normal activity, and then they lose consciousness. I mean, he had just been involved in a football play. And so I definitely think that the football play was a trigger. However, in this condition called commotio cordis, you know, in a review, which I started to do as well as my colleagues, like McCullough's written well on this. I thought Malone did a good job in his Substack on this. But if you look at all the incidents of this very rare form of cardiac arrest, it's generally people who are younger, so it's 15 to 16-year-old boys. It's generally a projectile, softball, cricket ball, a punch to the chest. You know, it's something with high velocity and a very direct impact. And it's in boys whose chests are not as covered with muscle and or chest protectors. Although initially I thought it was most likely commotio cordis, you know, it really doesn't fit the pattern. And I think, if I recall correctly, there's only been one event in 100 years of NFL that was thought considered to be consistent with commotio cordis. So why would that second event occur this year? Okay, so that's one thing. Commotio cordis probably cannot in fact, if you really look at what commotio cordis is, and then also if you look at the hit, it wasn't like he got hit directly in the sternum. It was actually a glancing blow. It might have been even more closer to his collarbone. And so it really actually lowers commotio cordis as the sole cause of his event much lower. Now, did the blow to the chest contribute? Certainly, I think it did. The other things you have to worry about, right? So certainly, let's just talk about what is that on everybody's mind.
With all respect, I would suggest this, and again, I'm hearing this for the first time, not necessarily connected to what happened to him. Not necessarily. I saw the hit. I didn't see it as being described as he just did, a projectile-like solid blow to an unmuscular chest wall. That was just a typical little bump in NFL football.
That's what he said.
Okay, here we go.
Did he get vaccinated? Did he get recently boosted? Did he have subclinical myocarditis? Absolutely, that's on the list, right? So when you're a doctor and you're trying to diagnose someone, figure out what's wrong in order to help them, you generate what's called a differential diagnosis. And knowing what you know about how different causes present, you order your priorities highest. So, you know, my differential diagnosis when I saw it at first was, you know, rather quick. I just said, oh, that's commotio cordis. But then when you really look at the data, now actually the features of this arrest don't totally fit with commotio cordis. So what are some other things that cause arrest on the field? Well, there are genetic abnormalities. There are things like called HOCM, which is hypertrophic obstructive cardiomyopathy, which is this overgrowth of a wall of heart muscle in the heart. And after a blow or during a field, even athletes who've had careers, right? So there's a famous HOCM arrest with Hank Gathers. I think Pete Maravich, who was a football player, also had HOCM and arrested. So these were guys advanced in their careers who had arrest. So it could be.
Pete was a basketball superstar, and he died at the age of 40 playing a basketball game after he had retired from the NBA. So let's just straighten that out.
Congenital heart condition. And then obviously there are also rare arrhythmia disorders of the heart in the conduction system, and maybe the blow suddenly disturbed the conduction and caused this arrest. But I got to tell you, high up on that differential list in this setting is the vaccine. I mean, it certainly could have contributed. Most likely, I would say more likely than not, it did contribute. However, I'm literally in an armchair. So I'm like an armchair physician here. Like, I have no idea. I would love to see. I'd love to examine him, see what kind of testing he's done. And now I'm going to get real cynical, because I'll tell you this, and I've had it. You will not know the full story or even the accurate story of what happened. They will not. If they find subclinical myocarditis, I would bet you that is censored and that will not come out. Because of, you know, this vaccine campaign has to keep going, right? So
he is 100,000% correct.
But here's my main point on this poor, unfortunate young man in the prime of his life, at the prime of his career, who's battling for his life right now. I think I heard a report that he moved, which I think is really reassuring, and I really do hope his recovery progresses. But, you know, part of me, it's not that I don't think we should pay attention to this, but I am absolutely apoplectic. I'm frustrated. Like, we have enough. We're over 1,000 athletes around the world who've died. We have, again, news broadcasters, people dying everywhere. We have 26-year-olds dying from heart attacks, 18-year-olds arresting in their sleep. We have paramedics from multiple countries around the world who are talking about being called to homes where there's a 16-year-old dead in their bed, right? Because they wouldn't wake up. And what do the parents say? He just got vaccinated. And that's happening everywhere. And by the way, that happened in March 2021 in a town next to me where we lost a 16-year-old girl after being vaccinated 1 week. The papers say nothing. No one says nothing. It's been going on for a year and a half. And I'm sorry I'm losing it. I literally can't handle this anymore. We are surrounded by dying people, young people. We have insurance data that is through the roof, unprecedented historic rises in working age young Americans dying. They are all dying. And, you know, if there's any good that comes out of this case, it would be great if it could highlight to the public that these vaccines have the capacity to end someone's life.
I would suggest, rather than use the word dying, they're being murdered. This injection, this bioweapon, is doing precisely what it was designed to do.
And, you know, unfortunately, the features of this case, and they're going to leave it opaque, you cannot make a definitive conclusion, but I would say you don't have to. There's plenty of other places where you can get the answers that these vaccines are toxic and deadly. And I don't know how many more arrests we can just watch and say, oh, poor, tragic, unforeseen, idiosyncratic event. You know, this mass delusion that we're all under through unrelenting propaganda and censorship. They're censoring all these things. If I have to read one more article of a young person dying where the word vaccine isn't even mentioned as a possibility, it's absolutely disgusting. And call out all the producers, everyone who runs these media things, every journalist who goes to work and writes that article and refuses to talk about what's in everyone's mind. You know, you are complicit. You are complicit. and you want to keep your job because you can't write the article that you know you're supposed to and morally and ethically supposed to write, which is the truth, the facts. You give all of the information that's available. You can talk about possibilities. You can write an article where it doesn't say it is the vaccine, but you could maybe, if you had ethics or morals or honesty or integrity or courage or conviction, you might want to write that, hey, maybe it's the vaccine. 16-year-olds, it's extremely rare to die. How many have we seen dying? 16, 18, 20, 22. And by the way, a 32-year-old athlete or a marathoner going out for a jog shouldn't be dropping dead either. A 42-year-old is distinctly rare. Yet now it's so common, we're used to it. Sorry, I think I just went on a rant, but I really don't know what to do with this stuff.
It's okay.
They have desensitized the public and the world, for the most part, to the death sentence that many people have obviously taken on when they've gotten these shots, especially the boosters. They are particularly deadly, according to what we're seeing. And Dr. Pierre Corey just made a brilliant statement. That was not a rant. That was extraordinary. And every single thing he said was correct. And I really salute him for that. He did mention the media as well. He should. And the media is composed, unfortunately, of whores and prostitutes, sluts. They'll write whatever it takes to keep them in good stead with their superiors, keep that paycheck coming in. But above all, in many cases, and I used to be a television news director, one of my stations, I had 27 people in my news department, and I was the big boss, okay? I know what drives these people. And in most cases, getting their faces on camera is either number one or number one. Get it? Okay. So they'll do whatever it takes to keep that job as sports reporter on the sidelines of a game, as a sports writer, whatever. It is ego-driven, and it is prostitution. And Dr. Corey is 100,000% correct again.
Yeah, it's good to see that. Very good to see that. Not mincing words.
No, their vaccine is should be the first thing asked, given what we have as a history already for the last 2 years now, and
right,
thousands of people dying on TV in Europe. I can't remember the number. A huge number of soccer players dead, boom, down. Basketball players, et cetera, et cetera. So the first thing in any story like this, when there's a sudden arrest on a playing field, is was that young man or woman injected? And if so, when, how many, and what's her booster status? Those are journalistic questions. Who, what, where, when, why, how, right? That's what they do. Not anymore. They'll write what they're told, and they'll do what they're told because they're scared to death of losing their jobs.
Well, the media has been weaponized.
That's why I quit television news. I was
good
an anchorman
you.
For 12 years. I was very successful. And I got to the point where I could see where it was all going, and I had another job offer. It was actually a big job in Portland, Oregon, and I turned it down and I quit. I stopped.
Good.
That's when I started this program. I would have nothing to do with it because it was a lie. And there are, believe me, if one person loses a job, there are 10,000 more ego-tripping, celebrity-hungry volunteers waiting. I had a joke. A running joke that I could actually have my staff, many of them, paying me to work in the news department, to be on TV.
Hmm.
And that was the truth. And I knew I could have done it. Anyhow, okay. Bravo, Dr. Pierre Corey and the FLCCC. Good job. And under our names and guests, you can find both of these clips with timestamps on them on the video, so you can review them to your heart's content. We urge you to share them and just understand that the mass media is owned lock, stock, and barrel and controlled by one basic group of people on this planet. They own it in its entirety. You are told what they want you to be told. I don't want to go any further right now.
I think by now that's evident.
I would hope so. Okay, Now, there was another story that we were covering and still are, and it has to do with this idea that Bluetooth signals are coming out. Is that this what's next, right? Bluetooth? We on Bluetooth next?
Yeah.
Okay. Bluetooth signals are coming out of the vaxxed. Bluetooth. Now, there are people who say they look at their phone and they're standing next to someone who's vaxxed, and their Bluetooth ID will come up on their phone.
Digital tattoos.
Hold on. I got to get this back up. Sorry. Is this true? We've had our doubts from the beginning about this. We were waiting for some kind of definitive experimentation to be done. Give us a little bit more. I got a 3-minute video here. Erica found it.
Yeah, I don't. This is a theme that I see coming out of Europe and to a bit in Canada. That apparently people are emitting Bluetooth signals. I haven't heard so much of it here. I haven't been able to verify it one way or the other, but someone's put together a short video here, pretty much debunking it. Which, I mean, I find it plausible that they haven't found anything to indicate that in the vials, that there's any sort of emitting substances in the vials. And according to this video, the chip, if it were a chip, would require more to it than just a substance. It would be more complicated, needing a power source and I forget what else, but it's worth a look. You know, there's so many nonsense narratives being pushed around out there to keep people off the trail of what's being injected into them and what the biological effects of that are.
Right. Exactly. Okay. Digital tattoos, they call it. Even the dead and buried are being detected emitting Bluetooth signals. So let's see what this little video, and again, I'm looking at this with all of you at for the first time. Here we go.
Tattoos. Even dead and buried people are detected.
On s'est posé beaucoup de questions et on a constaté qu'au final, les personnes qui étaient injectées étaient tatouées numériquement.
There's a statement there that several people who had been injected were digitally tattooed. That's what she's saying in French.
This woman filmed her video in a graveyard, the only place, she says, where there's no electronic signal interference. But, according to her, even the dead are emitting Bluetooth signals. That, she says, come from tiny Bluetooth microchips that were inserted into them when they got the COVID-19 vaccine.
C'est pas pour vous faire peur, maman.
It's not to scare you, she says. It's just to warn people.
For months now, lots of videos online have been making the same claim.
The Bluetooth of everyone on the plane who's jabbed.
Shows a screen on a cell phone on his lap showing different Bluetooth numbers. About 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 of them.
Some people are even saying that the words Pfizer or AstraZeneca appear in the list of Bluetooth devices they can connect to. That's easily explained. You can change the name of a Bluetooth device to whatever you want just by going in your Bluetooth settings. So they could have just changed the name themselves. But is it even possible to inject Bluetooth capabilities into someone? We contacted Olivier Ezrati, a technology consultant. He told us, first of all, that Bluetooth technology needs a sensor, a battery, and an antenna to work.
The whole device is at least several millimeters wide and several centimeters long, so there's no way it would fit in the needle of a syringe, which for the COVID vaccine is about 0.5 to 0.8 millimeters in diameter. A Bluetooth chip by itself can't do anything. It has to be linked with other devices in order to be usable, so this doesn't exist. And even if it did, we would have found it before this, because if it was part of every vaccine, someone would have already discovered it. You have to reverse the burden of proof. With a situation like this, we can't prove that something doesn't exist. So if it does exist, someone has to prove it.
So Olivier is skeptical. But can you make Bluetooth technology tiny enough to be inserted into the body? Is there a way of putting microchips into someone?
There is research that involves putting sensors on the human body, but these sensors exist for good reasons. For example, you can have sensors that measure blood sugar for diabetics. They're generally external, with a tiny needle that goes into the skin and which sends information via Bluetooth. But it's not injected by a syringe. It's a system with a sensor that's as big as a coin.
So these videos simply showing a Bluetooth device being detected nearby isn't enough proof that people are being injected with Bluetooth technology through the COVID-19 vaccine. Now, there is research over whether you can make this kind of technology small enough to be inserted into the body. But if there was, it wouldn't be used at all for vaccination, but more to treat specific diseases like diabetes.
Okay, and it says debunked on the screen at the end. That video is also available to you in news headlines and on the guest list. Look under our names. You can go there and take a look at that as well. So is it the final word on this controversy? I don't know. It's a good one, though. It's the first one I've seen that actually makes an effort to take it apart. Okay. What's next, Keto?
I guess we could talk a little bit about this. The reason this comes up is because people are claiming that they can feel radiation.
Yeah.
Coming off the vaxxed. And I've maintained all along that what you're feeling is the spike protein, the neurotoxic effects of the spike protein. It is a neurotoxic protein and would explain a lot of the symptoms that people think are radiation, which you can't feel radiation. Which is why we have meters to detect it. And so there's a paper here. This goes back to the 1980s, but I think the research actually went back even further than that, indicating that oxidized lipids do the same type of damage as radiation. So you will be suffering the same types of effects when your lipids are becoming oxidized, as with the spike protein and the dysregulation of the iron.
Remember, we're talking about burning fat in the human body.
Right. Yes, lipids are, it's not just body fat, but you need lipids. You have lipids in your cell membranes, and that's what keeps the contents of your cells intact. And inside those cells are little organelles that also have a membrane around them. So it keeps things organized. But these lipids are very susceptible to oxidation, the damages of oxidative processes, which happens more often when free iron is present or trapped in the cell. And what will happen is these free radicals that are generated will seek out the lipids in these membranes and basically fry them. And it just... all it has to do is initiate that process, and it perpetuates itself until there's some sort of antioxidant to stop it. They call that a chain terminator. And sometimes it can be vitamin E, and many times it's cysteine. And now you know why they didn't want you to have cysteine, as in N-acetylcysteine. Mm-hmm. You need a good supply of N-acetylcysteine.
To
keep that process healthy. So that you have a plentiful supply of antioxidant to stop that lipid peroxidation. But those same lipids can go on to damage the DNA as well. And that's why they're considered radiomimetics. They do the same type of damage in a different way as ionizing radiation. And so they can also have the same effect of destroying the blood and making people's hair fall out. Making the bone marrow sick, which is why, we have a lot of blood disorders right now. So all of the effects that are seen in ionizing radiation can be seen with a radiomimetic, of which these lipid peroxides are known to do. Another radiomimetic is benzene. People that have benzene poisoning will have a lot of these same symptoms. Unusual bruising, abnormal bleeding, hair falling out, nausea. And that's, severe oxidative stress. So just for clarity, it's not radiation coming off the vaxxed.
Now, that's not to say that people aren't smelling odors coming from the vax. We've talked about
Correct.
That at considerable length here. That's a fact. But the idea that, I can feel radiation coming from them, and I don't feel good, and that doesn't work so well at all.
Well,
so,
the other side of it is the other thing that these people are exuding, in addition to spike, is the aldehydes.
Right.
And ketones, and their metabolisms are very, very messed up. Their livers are stressed, their kidneys are stressed, they're not detoxing properly, and so and then
they're
they
sick.
Also have this, they're sick. So they have bacterial issues going on, possibly bacterial infections, especially when the iron is dysregulated. Dysregulated iron will feed all kinds of bacteria and fungi and some viruses. But it's the aldehydes that I think is the secondary offender in making people sick when they're around the vaxxed. And one of the aldehydes that's being released is formaldehyde, which is very toxic and doesn't necessarily smell until it's reached a certain concentration in the environment. But it can still make you sick, burning eyes, burning skin, headache, skin rashes. And then there's the other aldehydes that may or may not have a pleasant smell to them, like cologne or dryer sheets. Some might have a metallic smell to them. I mean, there's many different types of aldehydes, and their fragrance will mm-hmm. vary depending on their carbon backbone.
All right, well said. We have, again, reports of hospitals here in the U.S., probably in your country if you're living elsewhere, are virtually full of people, and they're trying to claim that they're all sick with COVID. No, a lot of them are in there because they're sick from the COVID injection. They've been injured, and these injuries don't get better. They get worse. Now, there is a virus out there, maybe several, we don't know. We've got the influenza virus for sure, and we have the COVID infection, Omicron, most likely. Now the World Health Organization is saying, oh, there's a new variant of the Omicron, which is the most concerning of all. They just keep beating the fear drum. That's all this is. There's some people who get the Omicron, they get sick, and they get over it, unless they go in the hospital and get remdesivir. They don't get over it then.
As far as I know, that is still happening. That remdesivir is still part of the protocol.
I'm reading that. So if you are sick, we're not doctors. We would just urge you to try to get through it. Get your NAC supplements. And there are others out there. But above all, the number one antidote that I can speak for Erica on this, that we feel should be used immediately. And it doesn't matter if you have the flu or COVID, Omicron. This is an anti-flu, antiviral, wonderful product. We think it's the number one and really only antidote there is out there for COVID.
Right.
And that's ivermectin.
Yeah, and there's a vicious campaign to discredit it right now. Fear mongering.
On the label. Look at the labels.
It's poisoning. I mean, do your research. There are a few contraindications, so do your research. But for the most part, it's benign and extremely effective. I mean, nothing comes close to neutralizing the biological effects of the spike. Apparently, it can break up the clumped red blood cells.
That's a stunner.
Get the spike off the blood cells, allow them to carry oxygen again, have them separate and carry oxygen again. There's at least seven different mechanisms of action that have been shown for the virus itself, and then it's also effective just to protect you against the spike. So, I just keep hearing more and more, and these women that were interviewed in this FLCCC webinar this past Wednesday, Sean and Angelia, have been on ivermectin pretty much nonstop for 2 years. And they swear by it. They can't live without it, in fact. And, you know, it does apparently stay in the body for a number of weeks, maybe a couple weeks or something, and then it begins to taper off or diminish its effectiveness, and then they'll need it again. But, it, you know, it's virtually non-toxic. They haven't had any side effects, other than one of them, Anjali, I believe, mentioned that she was sick or nauseous, diarrhea in the beginning using it, but she pushed through and was glad that she did.
It seems to be stabilizing them, and they've seriously
yes.
injured. It seems
yes.
to be, after 2 years, having given them a stable quality of life. If not perfect, at least they're not getting worse. That's
yeah.
a conservative way to say
and
it.
And there was a study showing that as far as the neurological effects go, the ivermectin is what they call a positive allosteric modulator of the nicotinic acetylcholine receptor, which that's a big deal if that receptor's malfunctioning.
Mm-hmm.
If you have something that can stop that from malfunctioning, then ivermectin seems to do that for these people.
It is available at overseas pharmacies, India, which
yeah,
is about
to
it's about to surpass China as the world's most populous nation, India. I think we're supposed to do it this year. So, yes, ivermectin is available, and yes, the horse paste it's the same stuff that's in the tablets or the capsules, whatever you get. There's nothing wrong with the horse paste, unless they have changed the formulation of either the capsules or tablets or the horse paste. You know, they haven't. They shouldn't. But they're putting big, bold warnings on these. Do not use
yeah.
for human illness or whatever. Serious side effects. That's bullshit. Excuse me.
Yep.
It's just crap.
It is. No, it's really a disservice and unethical yeah. to deny people that are suffering and injured and, you know, really going downhill to learn about this medication. I mean, it really is a boon to mankind right now.
The Nobel Prize was justly given to its inventor, and it should be available to everyone. But this government, you have to understand, is playing along with the global controllers, and we're talking about a biological weapon, the alleged vaccine, which kills people.
Mm-hmm.
It is doing precisely what it was designed to do, and it's only getting worse. And the boosters, apparently, are even more deadly than the earlier shots.
That's coming to bear. Yeah, I'm definitely seeing a lot of reports of people going downhill after the booster very fast.
The cancers, remember, overnight tumors showing up in people. Not a joke. The story's up in headlines. You'll see it. Read up on it. So if you're one of those who has suddenly developed cancer, malignant myeloma, whatever. Is that the one that... Well, anyway, there's several.
Oh, there's many, many.
Many. David Deves was murdered by giving him this kind of cancer, which had no chance of being stopped or even slowed down. I know this very well. So, okay, that's our program tonight. Thank you, young lady. Excellent work, as always. We'll,
okay, thank you, Jeff.
Talk soon.
And, okay, have a good weekend, everyone. Good night.
Okay. And we'll be right back with a special 1 hour with Father Paul Kramer to take a look at the death of the real Pope Benedict XVI, next.